I'm Frank Vaughn. It's February 4th, 2026. And if you're in an abusive relationship, if you're getting beat down by your partner, if you're getting your money and your treasure stolen by your spouse, do you negotiate with that spouse for a better deal, or do you seek outside help? What do we tell people who are victims of abuse in domestic situations? Get help. There's hotlines, there's friends, there's neighbors. Seek outside aid. And that's exactly what Alberta separatists are trying to do by having conversations with the people who butter Western Canada's bread. Now, I'm a little bit surly today, and I'm going to try not to yell at you, but my voice might be elevated all the same. Please try to bear with me before I get to the nonsense that's on the screen, and we'll get back to that. I want to make a brief pitch to the people who live in Edmonton and Calgary and Saskatoon and Regina, for that matter. You like your socialism. You like your public education. You like your public socialized healthcare. You just think everything just needs more money. Well, guess what? If you were an independent nation, if you were a separate state, how much money do you think, how much socialist spending could you get out of all the billions of dollars that are sent east if they stayed right here? How much better and quality of a service could you get? We need that money, and Ottawa steals it. So for those who think staying with Canada is such a great idea because the dreaded people who live in the countryside, that's another thing. You want to talk about anthropological rules. One of the rules of anthropology is humans organize into hierarchical societies. Another rule of anthropology, I would argue, is that as urban centers grow, there is a divorce. There is a underappreciation for the rural areas, for the productive areas, for the mineral wealth that sustains those cities. You see all the time. I've seen it back east. I haven't seen it so much here because people seem to understand it a lot better here. Or maybe it's because I'm just so rural. You see farmers feed city stickers in the back of almost, well, not almost every single vehicle, but you see them in enough vehicles. And a lot of those people, because I used to service them when I sold produce, those are liberal voters. And I think to myself, do you understand the inherent contradiction in what you're talking about? Anyway, for those who live in the cities and are scared of independence and think Alberta separatism is just some redneck conspiracy, think of all the money the government could redistribute to your benefit, to your social programs. It would be an amazing deal. Now, the nonsense that's on the screen right now is this guy, Jero Gleisbrecht. I don't know who he is. We are calling on PM Mark Carney to use Foreign Influence Registry to force disclosure from Jeffrey Raff and the Alberta Prosperity Project. Secret DC deals to break up Canada are a threat to our sovereignty. Transparency is vital for our safety. We can't talk to the Americans? Didn't the premiers just go down there at the behest of the prime minister? Doesn't the prime minister go down there and visit on a regular basis and have conversations with our largest trading partner? Doesn't that happen? Do the liberals not invite prominent Democrats to come and speak at their convention like they did in 2023? Where are you at, Jero? And Jero, did you call on the Quebec separatists? Did you call on the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, or Justin Trudeau to fully investigate the Bloc Québécois or the Parti Québécois? Did you call for that? Did you call for the investigation of those very same politicians who used the notwithstanding clause a dozen times to suspend charter rights to make Quebec a truly unique place for Quebecers? Did you do that? Of course you didn't. One of the reasons I'm so surly is I spent an enormous amount of time last night reading the comments section of liberal influencers in this country who are much more popular than you and I because they get that algorithmic push. And let's be honest, the further east you go in this country, the deeper red it gets. And reading that comment section, there is so much ignorance, so much virtue signaling. It's beyond ridiculous. We're up against a mentality, and I want to show you something right now. And I know I'm revisiting a theme. Before I do this, when I first became eligible to vote, this is something nobody knows because I don't think I've discussed it before. I've been shamed of it in a way. My first vote was for Jean Chrétien. And dastardly me, I voted for the NDP before too, when I was a young man. I remember, I think it was 2003, the summer, I went down to Toronto. This is just one of the things I did in the city. I went down to Toronto to protest the U.S. war moving into Iraq because they had nothing to do with 9/11 and they didn't have those weapons of mass destruction. And we were called conspiracy theorists then and we were right. That used to be the left. You know, we used to oppose things like the multilateral agreement on investments. Most of the kids alive nowadays have no idea what that is. Things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, these great big globalist organizations and deals. the liberalism that I cut my teeth in opposed that and knew how to oppose that. We knew that the United Nations wasn't working in our interest. We knew that these multilateral affairs and these bilateral deals, things like the Foreign Investment Protection Act, I get constantly comments, people saying, were you upset when Stephen Harper brought that in? Of course I was. Of course I was. But these same people, for some, they've lost, the left has lost their way. Mark Carney was a Stephen Harper appointee to the Bank of Canada. And yet you guys are rallying behind him. You guys are rallying behind Stephen Harper. You guys are rallying behind Jean Chrétien. And you're rallying behind the people who kicked open the door to the sellout of this country. Those are your nationalist saviors, the very elite that in 2003 we had opposed. I just, it's so frustrating, and we're outnumbered. We're clearly outnumbered. On screen is a tweet I made not long ago, and this actually on the composition of this tweet is how I got so fired up. Eastern conservatives, most but not all, have been saying for years that Western conservatives are the problem. Too principled, outspoken, and strong-willed. The West gives the CPC everything, seats, treasure, even bailing out Polyev. Yet they say we are the problem. There would be no conservative movement in Canada if it wasn't for Western conservatism. And you know why Western conservatism is so assertive? Because it's assertive. Do you know why it's so dominant? Because it fights. And for some reason, we pack up all the treasure, we pack up all the seats, we pack up all the MPs, and when they get defeated in Ottawa because of the elbows up, bad man Trump nonsense, Polyev loses his seat, where does he come to get bailed out? He comes to Western Canada. And what does he do when he gets here? Tells us that we need a unified Canada. Now, I know. If you're going to run in federal politics, you better be a federalist. I don't agree with the Bloc Québécois being there, representing the interests alone of Quebec and separatism and everything else. But you got to admit, they've done something right. But the fact is, there is a lot of hubris and a lot of arrogance to be parachuted into Alberta to save your leadership and then telling everybody in Alberta that the only thing that you've got in store for you is more servitude. Equalization, we can't change that. Not even Bernier wanted to change the equalization formula, Mr. Savior, because he's become a Johnny-come-lately to the Western separatist movement. They don't want to fix equalization. They don't want to fix confederation. They don't want to fix the fact that the West is critically underrepresented in our very totalitarian government via Senate seats, via the seat count in the popular assembly of the House of Commons, via the Governor General and the Prime Minister and the cabinet that runs things for the interests of people that you never see, names you never know unless you read. Peter Newman's, I'm pointing at the books, I'm pointing at the entire trilogy. On the shelf of the Canadian establishment, admittedly, the Canadian establishment has changed over time. But if you don't read these books, you never see the names of the people who actually run this country and run our politics and determine how the filtration system of the mainstream parties actually works. There is something incredibly audacious about the CPC riding on the coattails of Western Canada. And then so many, not all, I've said it before, not all, but so many, a majority of Eastern conservatives look down their noses on Western Canada. You would have nothing if it wasn't for Western Canada. And I knew that when I lived in Ontario. It pissed me off then, and it pisses me off now. This arrogance. For some reason, they go east and they stop fighting. Right at the Ontario border. Nobody wants to fight for what's right. Nobody wants to develop talking points that actually oppose the bloated questions. Nobody wants to say, you know, when you're asked about any of the hot button issues, nobody wants to actually defend a principled stance, that most of the MPs that live out in the West actually feel, but they're neutered by the party structure. This is not the tale of one nation. This is the tale of two or three nations, to be completely honest. And the independence movement is fully justified. I really hope the people of Western Canada finally embrace it. Because you're right, it's not just Saskatchewan and Alberta, it's a large section of BC as well. There needs to be a demarcation. There needs to be a new deal. There needs to be something other than the status quo. And there isn't a single federal politician that wants to give it to you. Back to the analogy that I opened with. The only thing Ottawa does, that's the abusive spouse in the relationship. The only thing they do is rob us and keep us down here in Western Canada among the plethora of reasons. I relocated my family here. I dropped my business. I dropped my precious land. Do you understand? Of all the things I miss from the East, Most of it has to do with the geography. Some people, but the trees, I kind of miss the hills. I love the landscape here, don't get me wrong. But my land, I put so much sweat and blood and tears into that land. I put something like $5,000 worth of compost into that land to grow garlic. The very, like, 2 months before I decided to pull up stakes and finally pull the trigger and leave because the circumstances and the setup were right, and I wanted to get out of there. If there's ever a lockdown again, if there's ever a draconian totalitarian state, if Doug Ford, that red liberal in a blue tie, wants to dump Crown Royal all over freedom once again, I needed to get out. I needed to be in a place where there's at least, whether it's tentatively, whether it's subtly, I think the Saskatchewan government and I think the Alberta government both recognize they made big mistakes during COVID. They may not come out and say it. Politicians are not known for being particularly brave, but I wanted to be in a better place. I wanted to be a lot further away from the abusive partner in Ottawa. They hold us down. They take our treasure. And we get that treasure from our trade relationship with the United States. Saskatchewan and Alberta have a lot more to be thankful for from the Americans than we ever will from Eastern Canada. Our trade aligns north-south. And for that matter, when you go to Ontario and you go to Quebec, a lot of their trade is north-south as well. There's one road link and there's one rail link. I know I've said it before. That's all that holds this thing together. They should be international borders, is what they should be. Differentiating Western Canada from Eastern Canada. If they want to go this way, let them go this way. But stop making us pay for it. So forgive me. If it's okay for the Prime Minister to go to the United States, if it's okay for him to sell us out to China, if it's okay for Eastern Canada to embrace a totalitarian nation like China, if it's okay for the premiers to go to Washington to see what they can work, it's perfectly fine for the Alberta Prosperity Project to do the same. We should be talking to our American partners. I noted yesterday, maybe it got buried in the content. I'll try and keep this one short. Just one discovery of critical minerals that could reshape the entire North American economic landscape. Part and parcel to Fortress North America, this idea that we can build this fortified economy where everybody gets rich. Don't you want to get rich? Don't you want the money, you socialists in Edmonton? Don't you want the money to fund all of your pipe dreams? As much as the libertarians and conservatives would like to get away from big government, and maybe we can pare it back and make it more efficient, the fact of the matter is there's always going to be some kind of government. And wouldn't you like to be awash with cash to fund that government instead of borrowing against the future, borrowing in your children's name, spending money on nonsense condoms for Nigerians and war efforts in Ukraine we don't even need to be a part of? We could burn that money promoting our own people, promoting our own place, building the place up instead of being looted by Ottawa. I think it's more than appropriate, considering that America does far more for Western Canada than Canada itself, Canada Incorporated, has ever done for Western Canada. It's more than appropriate to go across the border and have conversations, because you know what? When all this hoopla is done, whether we separate or whether we stay, it's still going to be the same relationship when it's all said and done. We're still going to be trading with the United States, because I'll tell you something. If we don't trade with those 340 million people down there, if we don't trade with that government, there's no other place on the world, nowhere, that can replace them. China doesn't buy most of our stuff that we ship to the United States. They're irreplaceable. And eventually, and I'd like to save us from this, but eventually the pain of our stupid decision-making, our hubris. Remember, the parliamentary budget officer who was appointed by Mark Carney told you would be subsistence hunting within a couple years. Told you that the government would be bankrupt if they kept running deficits within 16 to 18 months, not years, but within a year or a little more than a year. And nothing has changed since he said that. That's a Mark Carney appointee. The world recognizes that Canada's in a great big financial problem. And all of the product, all of the productivity, all the treasure that Alberta and Saskatchewan generate is getting shoveled into this federal hole. And we need to get out. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please support it via the website. I'll see you in the next one, where hopefully I'm not as uptight. But it's a fat chance, because I'm back to fasting. I got to fix myself. I talk about delayed gratification on my export profile. I believe delayed gratification is one of the greatest things that's ever been done. You got to live your life. You have to be able to enjoy yourself. That's an important thing. But there's a balance between enjoying yourself and delayed gratification. And though I've mastered so much in my life, broken so many bad habits, the one thing I haven't done is conquered my gut. And I'm going to do it this time. And that's the end of the story. I'll see you in the next one.